This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The economy is adding jobs, but is it adding enough of them?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll look at two jobs reports out this morning, which are showing movement in the right direction, but the pace of job creation leaves something to be desired. First, where's Wall Street? Stocks are mixed right now. The Dow is down 28 points at 12,778. The NASDAQ up about 0.2%, and the S&P 500 down about 0.2%. The world's biggest cereal maker, Kellogg, said this morning its first quarter profit fell 12%. The reason? High costs for ingredients like wheat and dairy. Now let's get to the nation's job picture. There are two reports out this morning. One from the payroll processor ADP says private employers added 179,000 jobs last month. That's a number that's disappointing to economists this morning. The other report comes from the job placement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas. It says layoff announcements hit their lowest level of the year last month. Let's dig into these numbers now with Richard DeKayser. He's an economist with the Parthenon Group in Boston. He joins us live, as he does every Wednesday. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Well, first, what do you make of these numbers?
Well, the ADP number was decent, but not as good as it was the previous 4 months. The Challenger number for layoffs was good, lowest this year, but not as low as it was late last year. I think what it all adds up to is that we're going through a little bit of a slowdown or a soft patch, if you like. And just last week, the government told us, for example, that real GDP was up just at a 1.8% in the first quarter. And that compares with numbers around 3% in the fourth quarter of last year and for last year as a whole. So clearly there's been a slowdown. The question is it going to persist or is it temporary? And I would argue that we can point to a number of transitory special factors like the tsunami in Japan, heightened conflict in the Middle East, and higher energy prices.
Is it going to be enough? I mean, if we're going through this slow patch, is it going to be enough to give this economy what it needs?
Well, I don't think so. I think we're really on a modest growth trajectory. You know, in the 50s, 60s, even the 70s and 80s, economic expansions were doing 5, 6, 7% GDP growth in the first couple of years. But starting in the 90s, the new normal has been closer to 3%, and we seem to be on track for that at this point. It's okay, but it's certainly disappointing given our past history.
Richard DeKayser, economist with the Parthenon Group, thanks as always.
My pleasure.
Well, now to the world's largest commodities trading company, Glencore, announced today that when it goes public, it could be worth more than $60 billion. And some of the early investors will be governments like Abu Dhabi and Singapore. Reporter Christopher Worth tells us why they have an interest in Glencore.
Abu Dhabi has a lot of cash lying around. It's an oil-rich nation, and oil prices, you may have heard, are pretty darn high right now. So Abu Dhabi wants to take its extra money and invest it in a place where it can earn a decent return. That means it has to set up a so-called sovereign wealth fund, something a lot of countries do. Rupert Nathan of the stock research firm Fat Profits says that Abu Dhabi's sovereign wealth fund is making a good bet by buying into Glencore. Glencore's core business is trading in metals and agricultural products.
Part of the very basics of any investment strategy would be to achieve diversification. So if the bulk of my revenue was coming from oil, I'd be wanting to sort of diversify away.
Andy says given that Glencore's stock is expected to start selling at a relatively low price, sovereign wealth investors like Abu Dhabi view it as a steal. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com. and by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
Just west of Minneapolis, where I-494 meets Highway 169, they are taking down the stoplights and putting in a traffic circle, also known as a roundabout. It's just the latest example of a growing trend in suburbs around the country where the goal is to cut down on traffic congestion as well as accidents. And as Tony Arnold reports from Chicago Public Radio, one village in Illinois is hoping a new roundabout will serve as the cornerstone for new commercial development.
When you hear the word roundabout, you might think of a huge multi-lane traffic circle, the kind Chevy Chase gets stuck in National Lampoon's European Vacation.
It's amazing. I cannot get left. This Big Ben kid's Parliament.
But the recipe for a typical roundabout these days is a little different. Take an average four-way intersection. Insert 4 yield signs, add a round patch of grass in the middle, and voila. Over the last 20 years, about 2,500 roundabouts have cropped up around the U.S.
I'm Amy Connolly, planning director for the Village of Tinley Park.
Connolly's been given the task of developing Tinley Park for the foreseeable future, and part of that future includes a new roundabout funded by a $2 million grant. It's planned for an intersection meant to connect drivers from the nearby highway to the downtown area. Connolly says it'll help clear the traffic jams that clog the intersection now, and she says it will allow construction of a new commercial development without adding extra congestion. It's also intended to make the area more pedestrian-friendly.
We sort of drive on autopilot these days, but things like roundabouts really force you to sort of slow down and think about what you're doing, and that makes for a safer intersection.
On a recent afternoon, Connolly drives me to South Holland, 2 towns over. There we find a model for the Tinley Park roundabout. She says municipalities like roundabouts because they cut down on the electricity costs of running stoplights, and insurance groups show there are fewer serious accidents. But the real trick could be getting local residents on board. Dave Burke lives by the South Holland roundabout and is unimpressed.
It doesn't slow the traffic down. Nobody knows how to use it.
Not unlike Chevy Chase, who needs a whole day to finally figure out that traffic circle in London. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold for Marketplace.
And finally, if you thought $4 a gallon gas was expensive, consider this. USA Today reports some rental car companies are charging almost $10 a gallon if you don't fill up the tank before you return the car. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Many would love to see organic farming become the way of the future, but for all the upsides, if it happened, there could be downsides as well.
If you ask me point blank whether organic or organic-based farming is better than conventional, my answer is no.
I'm Tess Vigeland, Organic Farming and Global Food Demand, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.